It is night time, and the moon is shining large and round. Oops, we haven't just landed in the first half of the 20th century, we've landed in the sea. Sorry about that. There it is, the submarine we are about to visit. Out in the open and with the engine running. The engineer will explain more.
Yes, under the surface we obviously get our power from batteries, and now those are almost completely spent. That is why we are charging them up using the diesel engine. The problem is the engine needs air for it to work, so we need to go up to the surface. Of course, we wait until it's fully dark first, and then we also load up on fresh air for the crew. The air down here gets pretty foul.
So you don't have a snorkel yet?
A snorkel?
Yes, a tube that can draw in air for the engines and the crew. Then you don't need to take the submarine up to the surface to charge the batteries, like you do now. But the snorkel won't begin to be used until the 1950s.
Well, I never.
Just wait, it gets better. At the end of the 1980s, Stirling engines will be used in submarines. They don't need air to run and can both propel the submarine and charge the batteries underwater. The engine supplements the diesel engine and results in a silent submarine that can stay submerged for weeks at a time.
Think about experiencing that.
We thank the Submariner and return to the present day. Because now we're going to talk about the crown jewel in this context, the nuclear submarine. The name doesn't mean that there are nuclear weapons on board. It means that a nuclear reactor powers the submarine. The fuel is enough for several years, and the submarine can remain underwater for months at a time. But it has its drawbacks too. The pumps that cool the reactor are noisy. The nuclear submarine is too expensive for Sweden, and it is also too large for the shallow waters of the Baltic Sea. But it suits the superpowers, such as the USA, Russia, and China.